Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something a little bit different. If those the ushers who took up the offering could come. I know it's odd in church. We pass the plate and you put money in it. And now we're going to pass it back to you and I'm just going to put paper in it and you can have one. So when you get this envelope, don't open it until later in the service when I will direct you to. Well, we are from Texas. Bobby is from Killeen, which is Killeen and Fort Hood have just kind of become one town. They're so close together. And the town I come from is called Moffitt, Texas. And Temple annexed us in, and we lost our zip code, and they let us keep our name, but we don't have our address anymore. We don't have our post office anymore. They just kind of absorbed us into the larger city. So I'm in kind of a rural area. A lot of country folks. Right across from my office are cows, and behind me is a donkey that really gets loud sometimes. But it's great. It is great to see Wisconsin. And the thing that stood out to me the most was when I was 27,000 feet up, and y'all farm different than we do. In Texas, it's As we lifted off, I could see the farmland, and it's just big squares that were either plowed or not. And then I came here, and y'all've got colors and shapes, and it was great. I was impressed by that. Well, the way y'all, did you like that? We don't really do that often, but the way that you do church on Sunday morning, here is the way that I do church on Sunday evening. It's question and answer time, and I pose the exact questions that Hoyt does. So I'm very familiar with the way you do church, and it's a privilege to be here, an honor to open God's Word with you. And I'm going to reread the text again just to go through it. And Hoyt took all of my points, and then y'all answered all the questions, so I ought to be able to be very brief here. Psalm 50, 1 through 15, and then the last verse. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, has spoken and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous around him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountain, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. And then verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. I'm going to share with you how I came about preparing this message. All of my life, I loved Thanksgiving, even before I became a Christian. I did not get saved till I was 25 years old. I was raised in a complete pagan, unchristian home. But we celebrated Thanksgiving with the traditional turkey and dressing. And I must admit that before I became a Christian, that was the main reason I liked Thanksgiving. Was for turkey and dressing and pecan pie and all of that good stuff. But I always loved Thanksgiving. Did not really care for Christmas too much. I was kind of bah humbug. People in a rat race to buy gifts and all of that stuff. And then the Lord came into my heart. And Thanksgiving took on an entirely new meaning to me. Christmas took on a completely different meaning to me. And guess what? Even after I became a Christian, I still loved Thanksgiving and I did not like Christmas. And I'm talking about our American way we do Christmas. I love the birth of Christ. That was my Savior. And so over the years, I struggled at Christmas time, but man, do I love Thanksgiving, and I'm still that way. I was sharing with Bobby last night. We went to Perkins, and the only reason we went there is because he said they got pecan pie. And I told him I love pecan pie, but it's really sweet. I convinced my wife to put walnuts in it because they're a little bitter and it balanced out the pie. So I think he's going to maybe see if Miss Marita will cook one. But anyway, this whole image in my mind of what Thanksgiving was about, and I'm reading through the scriptures and I come across this phrase, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, I want you to know that all through the scriptures I've preached, I've taught, in this whole concept of sacrifice of thanksgiving never entered into my mind. I understand a wave offering, a grain offering, the goat as a sin offering, but what really is a sacrifice of thanksgiving? And I could not get this out of my mind. What is a sacrifice of thanksgiving? And so I began to do a study on this because I intended on preaching it at my church. And I looked up the word thanksgiving. I looked up the word ingratitude, gratitude, and contentment. And all three of these words, if you look up the one, it says the other two words. If you look up gratitude, it says showing thanksgiving. If you look up unthankful, it says lack of gratitude. If you look up discontentment, it says not being thankful for what you have. So these words all went together, and it's just going through my mind about being thankful to God and showing gratitude to God. And all of a sudden, this image came into my mind, and I want you to picture this. God has just formed the heavens and the earth with His very voice. He has separated the waters. He has created land and animals. As a matter of fact, we learned in Sunday school this morning that God revealed Himself through this process of creation. You picture all of this is done, and now the climax, the very height of God's creation, is Adam. And He creates man, and He creates woman, and He puts them together. And He says, everything is yours. Everything is yours. And He gives Adam a dominion over the garden and to name all of the animals, and gives him a helpmate, and they are living in what Asaph is the psalmist here. Asaph says, in the perfection of beauty. As a matter of fact, they not only lived in the time of perfection and purity and innocence, but God came in the cool of the day to visit with them. They saw what Asaph describes here as the perfection of beauty. They stood before perfection and beauty. And one day God says, everything is yours, everything to have dominion over, to enjoy, except that tree. Except that tree right over there. You cannot partake of the fruit of that tree, but all of this is yours. And you know, Adam and Eve just kind of looked over, and you know that the tree was there, and they turned and looked at everything that they had. So they stepped over, and everything in the middle of perfection and beauty was theirs. And all of a sudden they said, but why can't we have the fruit off that tree? Why can't we just taste it? Surely it's good. And you know, Adam made that big mistake. He should have said, I'm telling. I will tell God if you pull a fruit off the... Do you see the point I'm getting? God said, all of this is yours. They were living in the midst of perfection and beauty, and they had the whole world. And instead of going, thank you, God, for everything that you've given us, they said, why can't I have that? Why can't I have that? And that's the picture that came into my mind when I meditated over this passage of Scripture of what does it really mean to offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You can't be grateful for something that you feel entitled to. And Adam and Eve felt that even though God had given them everything in the whole world, that they should be entitled to the one thing that God said no to. Spurgeon said this, "You say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. Well, you make a mistake. If you are not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled." If it were doubled. So I toyed with this. I kept praying, "Lord, am I really thankful? Am I really grateful for what I have? Or do I suffer from the same thing that the first children suffer from? Instead of looking at all you've given me, do I say, Lord, I need a little bit more. I need that. The one thing I don't have, I need it." And so I want us to just look at the Scriptures. It says that God has summoned, in verses 1 through 6, that God has summoned all of heaven and earth to hear His judgment. And as I said earlier, Asaph describes God as perfection and beauty. And he says that all of His people are going to stand before Him, all of those who have covenanted with Him by sacrifice. And in the King James Version, it uses the word saints. Now, I know in some religious aspects, a saint is this special person that we put on a pedestal, but not according to Paul. Paul called everyone in the church a saint. That's you and me. And so a saint is anyone who has entered into a covenant with God by sacrifice. Well, guess what? That's me. And that's you. If you're sitting here today and you have repented of your sins and asked Jesus to come into your heart, by His sacrifice, you entered into a covenant with God. So God is speaking to us today. And He says He calls all of His people together, all of heaven and earth, to speak to them and to judge them. And then He delivers a warning. And He says, "I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me." So what God is telling them here is, I'm not upset at you because you're not giving enough. I'm not upset at you because you're not doing the morning and evening sacrifices. As a matter of fact, you're doing it quite well. You're giving me all the requirements of the law. So He's not chastising them for that. If He were talking to us today, He would say, "You're at the church every time the door is open, and you are down to the penny of that 10% that I asked for. And I'm not upset at you for that, because I expect it of you." They were meeting the requirements of the law, and God doesn't ask any more than that from them either. Now, the interesting thing here is He just point blank tells them, "I'm not going to take a bull from your house because I don't need it." And that was the fun part that I liked us talking about earlier. And the gentleman over here said, "God doesn't even need my worship." And that's true. God is not a needy God. But what the point that He makes here is not just that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We have to remember He owns the hills as well. It's all His. But there is one thing in this world, one thing in this world that God will not take. And that's our heart. It must be given. It must be given. And so this whole thing that was swirling in my mind about this sacrifice of thanksgiving has to do with the one thing that God will not take. God doesn't need anything. And God can have anything He wants. But because of the very laws that He created, and free will is one of them, we have a choice. It is up to us whether we offer Him a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That is a heart that is truly grateful and content with what we have. And I toyed with this in my mind. And as a matter of fact, I got pretty convicted because I don't know about you, but I've got great plans. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God doesn't register well with the American dream. Did you know that? Yeah, it doesn't. You can't hold Jesus Christ in one hand and the American dream in the other. You will have to let go of one of them. And that's the reason I never liked Christmas, as far as the way we celebrate it in our nation. Because I see the most ungrateful, discontented people in the world right here in our country. And I don't know about here in Wisconsin, because I've only been to the restaurants. That tells you where my focus has been. But where we come from, they went straight from Halloween, which, oh, that's another sermon in itself. They go straight from Halloween to Christmas. And I'm going, what happened to Thanksgiving? It's not even there. Is it that way here? It, you know, you go down the aisle and you've got clearance goblin masks in nativity scenes over here because they're starting to stock this side. And it's just, what happened to Thanksgiving? And it ought to speak to our hearts. We skip it. Every year, we skip it. We go from the pagan holiday Halloween into materialism, into the consumer mindset. And we just skip Thanksgiving. So he tells us, I don't really need anything from you. I don't want another bull. I don't need the blood of your goats to drink. It's all mine anyway. And he says, but what I want you to do is offer to me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. With God, it's always about the heart. It's always about the heart, because that's the one thing that he wants us to give to him, not because he needs it, but because if he had to take it, would there really be any gratitude there to begin with? If he had to take it, do you think it would mean much to you if you demanded your children love you? If you demanded they respect you? Or if they respect you and love you and are grateful for what you've done for them because you're their parents? And that's the way God looks at us. He wants to see grateful children. He's not looking for us to add another day of the week to go to church. He's not asking for 2% more of our tithes. As a matter of fact, according to some of the stuff we learned about generous giving at our associational meeting yesterday, 10% is just the bare minimum. But what he's asking for is for you and for me. And the gentleman that spoke about it being like a courtroom, God is going to judge. Did you know that we all stand before God? And I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago about being clothed in Christ, and that when we stand before God, we are literally stripped of everything. It's out of Zechariah. He talks about stripping the priest, the high priest. When we stand before God, we have nothing to offer him that he needs. Not one thing, not our title, not our occupation, not even because I'm Carl Love. I have nothing to give him that he needs, but I have something that he desires. And that's me. And do you know what? That's what blows me away. Did you know God is knocked out about you? And I think that's good news. Not because we deserved it, not because I deserved it, but because he's knocked out about me. And that was so exciting to me. I was raised in a home where I do remember my mother allowed us to go to church a couple of times. We lived in an apartment complex, and an elderly couple came, and they were gathering up kids to take to this little metal building in the middle of a pasture is where they were having church, about half this size. And I remember going there, and I thought it was pretty cool. Had no idea what we did. I thought it was weird. People came up, and they cried right here, and it was kind of odd. But that's all I knew of church and Christianity. I was a grown man in the United States of America, never heard the gospel. Never actually heard the gospel. So I want to tell you something. One day, a man shared the gospel of Christ with me, and it changed my life. I lay myself bare before God with only one thing to offer him, and that was a grateful heart for dying on the cross for me. And so I want you to think about that today. What are you grateful for? God's not interested if you're here 2 or 3 more days a week. He's not interested if your tithes go up. Now, Hoyt might, But God is, it doesn't matter to him. Because the power of God and the obedience of his children, he'll provide. But he wants your heart. And so I ask you during this Thanksgiving season, as you sit down with your family, what are you thankful for? Reminded me of the story. Do you remember the 10 lepers in the scriptures? Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest and you'll be made well. And if you'll notice, they were already running back to the temple before they were made clean. Do you remember that? And it said all of a sudden they looked down and they noticed no more spots, no more boils, no more bleeding. And one of them turns around. And the scripture says he runs back and falls at Jesus' feet doing what? Giving glory to God and thanks Jesus. And Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? Do you know what the other ones were doing? They were too busy running to meet the requirements of the law. But one of them, his grateful heart trumped the law. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he didn't go show himself to the temple. But the first thing that he did was the gratitude in his heart was overwhelming. He went back and fell at the feet of Jesus and said, thank you. And the scriptures don't tell us, but in my sanctified imagination, I would imagine that after he got up from giving glory to God, the scripture says, and thanking Jesus and worshiping at his feet, that he finally made his way to the temple to fulfill the law of Moses, which is what Jesus told him to do. So it is more important, brothers and sisters, for your heart to be right with God. And do you know what seems to happen when the heart is right with God? You'll begin to fulfill the law of Moses. You'll begin to tithe. You'll begin to want to be at church. You'll begin to want to serve God. He wants the sacrificial heart. He wants a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's what he says, offer up to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And he will show you what salvation is truly about. Someone who has nothing but themselves to offer and him to gain. Isn't that wonderful? Now I want you to do something. I want you to take that envelope and I want you to open it. I want you to take that envelope and open it. It's not going to jump out. She was looking like, make sure it wasn't going to jump. There's a little card in it. What if you woke up today with only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? I want to ask a couple of questions. Would your spouse be here? Would your children be here? Would you have that job? Psalm 50 shook my world up. Because the day I read these words, it was as if I stood before perfection and beauty. And he said, let's take a look at your heart, Pastor Carl. You're meeting all the requirements of the law. Setting a good example. Busy working for me. I just want you. Just want you. I want your heart. Every day, my girls pray the same thing. They're kind of repetitious at the beginning. From the time they were old enough to even speak prayers, we started praying as a family. And my oldest is fixing to be 17. They do not know what it's like to go to bed without our family altar, our prayer time. And they pray the same thing at the beginning of their prayer. Thank you, God, for our house and for the food and for Mom and Dad and Sarah and Hannah and Cana. That's how they because that was the first prayer they learned. Is to tell God the most important things they're thankful for. And I want to ask you one more time. What would you have today? What would you have today if all you had was what you thanked Him for yesterday? Would you be saved? Would Jesus have come into your heart? Would you have your spouse, your children, your job, this church? Well, it changed my prayer life. And it convicted me of realizing that the most important thing to God when it pertains to Carl is coming to Him with absolutely nothing but my heart laid bare, overflowing with joy and thanksgiving and gratitude that I have Him and the things He's given me in this life to enjoy. My wife, my children, my church. The rest of it's passing away. And those are the only things I'll take to heaven with me. Amen? He says that He will show us what salvation truly is if we come to Him with a grateful heart. Do you know that the realization that I was a sinner and that I was separated from my Creator, from a holy God because of that sin, the day that the doctor that shared his faith with me told me who Jesus Christ was and that He died on the cross for me was the first time, I believe, in my entire life that gratitude and thankfulness entered into my heart. That there was a God who loved me, who could reconcile me back to Him not on anything that I had done, but simply because He wanted Carl Love as His child. And I repented of my sins, and I asked Him to come and live in my heart, and I've never looked back. And don't misunderstand me. I'm being open and honest with you. This, when I meditated over this passage of Scripture a while back, it tore me up because I got busy for God. And it wasn't my heart I was busy with. It was busy going and doing and being. And He said, Carl, come back to that spot. That spot where you just opened yourself to me in true joy and gratefulness for what I had done for you. And I fell back in love with my first love, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you today that if you don't know Him as your Savior, if you have never, ever experienced that type of gratitude, it only comes when you've been reconciled back with the Holy God. When you can truly know that one day you will stand, as Asaph described, before beauty and perfection, justified and made right by what He did. Not what you did, not what I did, but what He did. That's something to be thankful for, is it not? Amen. So I hope you look at Thanksgiving a little bit different this year. And I'm trying to look at Christmas a whole lot different. I really am. But Thanksgiving is still that time when no one seems to give gifts. No one seems to worry about the rat race in the stores. But they take time to sit down with their family and friends and to say, look at what all God has given me and what all He's done for me. And that is a joyous thing. I'm grateful for being here today. I enjoyed Sunday school, and I'm still enjoying Wisconsin. My wife told me I had to come back, so I'm going to. But I want you to pray with me, and I want you to just think about your heart. And maybe this morning you could offer to the Lord a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Maybe this morning you could offer Him your heart for the first time. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You so much. And Lord, the reason that we should be grateful is because You are so giving. You gave us Your only begotten Son. Just because You wanted us to be right with You. Just because You wanted to be able to call us Your children. And so, Lord, I pray today that You would help all of those who know You to think about what we've thanked You for lately and to realize that every good and perfect gift has come from You. And, Lord, most of all, I pray that if there's one here who has never, ever even offered their heart to You as a sacrifice of gratitude for dying for them, that they would do so this morning. We love You, we praise You, and I pray that everything that was done here was pleasing in Your sight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.